Thank you, Brother Brian, and once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's lovely to be here with you this morning around the table of the Lord to share time together, remembering our Saviour and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to start today by asking you all a question, and that is, when this week have I shown love? When have we shown love to someone else? Maybe we have gone out of our way to do something for someone to show love. Maybe we have shown compassion to someone in need, thus providing the feeling of love to someone. So when have we shown love this week? Showing love, I'm sure, for most of us is a habit in our day-to-day lives and comes naturally when interacting with others. But what is love? What does it mean? Subject of love, what it means and how we show it is what I want to base our exhortation on today. The dictionary definition of the word love is an intense feeling of deep affection or a great interest and pleasure in something. But the Bible also gives us a definition in which I feel is more beneficial, because yes, it is a definition we just mentioned, but it's so much more than that. And the Word of God tells us what love is. This week in our daily readings, we have read the first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 13. Now, I'm sure we are very familiar with this chapter. And if we've been to a wedding, this chapter may have been read for its contents on love, what love is and what it looks like on a base level. I'm just going to read a few verses, and these are verses 4 to 8. You don't need to turn there, as I'm sure you know them all well, but And for reference as well, all of my references are taken from the ESV today. So if we go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, and we'll quickly read verses 4 to 8 together. So 1 Corinthians 13, chapters 4, verses 4 to 8. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, enjoys all things. Love never ends. And how beautiful are those words. Love isn't just an enthusiastic emotion or a way to describe something we really enjoy doing. Love has many other characteristics and layers to it. And love can be shown in many ways. As these inspired words of Paul testify, love never ends. Where prophecies and tongues cease, we are left with love. So today, with this Bible definition in mind, I want to look at this theme of love, and in my view, what a better place to start that in than in the letter of Philemon. And when we look at this letter to Philemon, what do we think of? Do we think of a slave who has wronged his master and ran away? Or potentially we may think of a slave that is no longer useful in his household. This slave that I've mentioned here is none other than Onesimus, and his master being Philemon. In this letter, we are not really told the reasons of why Onesimus has left his master and come into the presence of Paul, but what we do have is a letter detailing love and how Philemon should accept Onesimus and welcome him back with open arms as a brother in Christ and with unquestioning love. So please turn with me to the letter of Philemon now, as we'll boast most of our thoughts from here today, as well as thinking back to 1 Corinthians 13. In verses 1 to 3 of Philemon, we see that Paul here is writing not only to Philemon, but also Apphia, Archippus, and the whole church in his house. This letter of love and acceptance was important to each and every member of Philemon's household. But also it shows that Paul knows Philemon and knows his true depth of character. This letter is so personal that Paul could not have written it the way he did if he didn't know Philemon so well. And we can see how just how well he does indeed know Philemon as we go through the chapter. In verses 4 to 7, we can see that Philemon is also a faithful man and a brother in Christ, one that shows love and faith. Paul talks about the love that Philemon shows. In verse 5, he talks about hearing the love of and faith he has towards the Lord Jesus Christ and all the saints. Then in verse 7, Paul says he has derived much comfort and joy from the love that Philemon has. And this is all so important because Paul later in the epistle is going to ask Philemon to show true Christian love once more. He's going to ask him not to be arrogant, rude, or even resentful, but in fact show patience, kindness, and to even take pleasure in taking Philemon back into his household, no longer as a slave, but as a servant and brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we continue on into the chapter. We read how Paul pleads for Onesimus, and I think it would be beneficial to read verses 8 to 14, where this plea is stated. Philemon, verses 8 to 14. Accordingly, lo, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required. Yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to me and to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. I would prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be compulsion but of your own accord. Here we read that Paul is in prison. We already know that, though, from the start of the chapter. Paul here is not commanding Philemon to do anything, even though he could do, from his status as a senior apostle. Instead, Paul appeals to Philemon's good nature and asks him to show brotherly love to Onesimus, the same type of love described in 1 Corinthians 13. Notice also how Paul refers himself as Onesimus' father. Onesimus came to Paul whilst he was imprisoned, a time where Paul would potentially have felt alone and perhaps experiencing episodes of spiritual weariness. Paul wouldn't have been able to freely go where he wanted to or to preach to those around him. But here Onesimus has come to him, a young babe in the truth who wanted to learn more. It could be fair to say that during Paul's imprisonment he spent a considerable amount of time with Onesimus. So much so that Paul would have known him so well and felt like a father to him, being a teacher and protector. This fatherly love that Paul shows here for Onesimus would have been so intense and amazing. Paul would have wanted to teach Onesimus the right ways, to spiritually guide him and to protect him. Also Onesimus' company and his keenness for the truth would have given Paul so much encouragement during this time of imprisonment. Paul, though, puts this aside and decides to appeal to Philemon to take Onesimus back, because he knows this is the right thing to do. Let Onesimus spread his spiritual wings and be profitable to Philemon and the ecclesia in Philemon's house. At this point in our talk, it's useful to remind ourselves what the name Philemon and Onesimus mean. Well, I'm sure already many of you know what they mean. But for those that don't, or if you want your memory refreshing, they mean the following. Onesimus means profitable. Philemon means loving. And up until verse 13 of this letter, we find that Onesimus is now indeed profitable or useful, as we've already stated. In verse 14, we read that Paul wants Philemon to take Onesimus back. Not because Paul is telling him to, but because Paul wants him to show his loving side and to live up to his name. He wants Philemon to show Onesimus brotherly love, just as we've been shown by the Lord Jesus. And this links us to John 13, verse 34, where it's recorded that the Lord Jesus said the following: "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another." And this is a lesson for us also, isn't it, brothers and sisters? We should do the same if anyone has wronged us or done something we don't like. We should be willing to resolve those things with our brothers and sisters and deal with them in a Christ-like, loving way, following a new commandment that we should love one another as Jesus has loved us. So as we continue in the letter of Philemon, we read that even though Onesimus has parted from Philemon for a short while, Paul is asking Philemon to take him back indefinitely, not just as a slave, but as a servant and his brother in Christ. And we read this in verses 15 to 17. So let's read those together now. "For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me." Here we see Paul tell Philemon to take Onesimus back as more than just a bondservant, to take him back and restore him to his original status and more, to use him, to make him profitable unto him, and of course profitable in the eyes of God. And Paul here is asking Philemon to treat Onesimus just as he would treat Paul, with love and compassion. We need to do the same too, brothers and sisters, don't we? We need to be able to have compassion on those around us and show love, whether that be when we're accepting someone back into the fold, when someone has wronged us, or even when we need to show forgiveness to someone. In reverse, there may be a time due to our actions where we too need to be shown these qualities of love by our fellow brothers and sisters. Reading on, we see Paul says to Philemon that if Onesimus did anything to wrong him, that he should put this on Paul's account. We see this in verses 18 to 22. I'll just quickly read those now as well. "If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hands. I will repay it. Say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ, confident of your obedience. I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you." Paul here is acting like our Lord Jesus Christ, putting the potential wrongs and sins of Onesimus on his account, paying for his wrongdoings and sins just like the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, dying on that cross so that we may have salvation from sin and have the hope of eternal life. It is clear Paul is instructing Philemon to charge anything owed or wronged to Philemon onto his personal account. And as we have just mentioned, this points us to the Lord Jesus and his willing sacrifice. Jesus has had all our sins put onto his shoulders, charged to his account, nailed to him on the cross. Paul writes to Philemon the words, "If he has wronged you," therefore meaning not only that what he may or may not have done wrong, but innumerable amounts of wrongs are covered. And this is the same as our Lord Jesus Christ. He puts all of our sins on his shoulders. No matter what we have done, he will cover all of our sins. And Jesus shows us love, loves us just as Paul loved Onesimus. So much so that not only was he willing to take our sins from us and have them charged to himself, but he died on that cross, having his blood shed and his body broken, that we may have life in him. That's what we're here to remember today, aren't we? We are here to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and his willing sacrifice for us. That even though we are sinners, Jesus loves us so much that he was willing to die for us. That he loves us and his friends and as his friends, and because we are part of his spiritual family, he laid down his life so that we may have the hope of eternal life. So let us remember that love that he has for us. Let us love one another just as he loved us. And let us remember the words of John chapter 15, verse 12 to 14 now. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus also commands us to remember him, his life, his death, and his resurrection, and sharing the bread and wine together. Let us remember our Saviour and his amazing love for each one of us now, as we share these emblems and fellowship together. What a wonderful blessing it is that we who are slaves to sin have had those sins put on Jesus' account. And rather than being slaves to sin, we have been freed to be servants of righteousness, made possible through the love and death of our ultimate sacrificial lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.